So, Father, today I ask that you anoint the ears of the listeners to hear. Anoint the lips of me as I speak. And, Father, may they both connect with tremendous insight or revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been studying on self-image, and we've been talking about exactly what we've said it is, self-image. And we've been bringing out that the truth of the matter is our self-image must die in order for His self-image to be resurrected within our hearts. Every one of us have the Spirit of Christ. When the Bible speaks of having the Spirit of Christ, it's talking about having the life and the nature of God in our spiritual being. The life and nature of God in our spiritual being. Now, there is what we call a natural part of us. And then there's what we call the spiritual part of us. It is a spiritual part of us that God, when we got born again or born from above, is where He injected within our spirits His life in His nature. And to clear up any confusion, the minute His nature, His life, was given or actually injected into your being, that literally means now that as your Father, He is going to literally develop you, bring you up as one of His child or children, according to His nature and His life. Now, our self-image, we had made it very clear that it came literally by the programming of the God of this world, Satan. He is the one that literally did a process by which all of mankind fell prey to it and received this fallen nature. A fallen nature is one who literally has inherited spiritual death or the spirit of this world. Excuse me, I need to get a drink of water here. Seem to have a tickle in my throat. So when we say that no man can enter into the kingdom of heaven except he be born from above, that's literally true. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He said in order to go into the kingdom of heaven, He says you've got to be born from above. You've got to be born again of water and of spirit. The water that He's referring to there literally is talking about physical birth. Of course, the guy has to be born in order to be reborn. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but to a believer, we understand what that means. You're born through the first birth, the first conception, which is by our parents. And then the second birth is when we're born of the Spirit of God. Our outward man didn't change, but our inward man did. And that is receiving the Spirit of Christ. The reason we have to receive the Spirit of Christ to be born again is that we have to have His life and nature in us for us to be able to discern who He really is and what He's all about. God never intended for His New Testament church to literally study Him. God doesn't want us to study Him. God wants us to position ourselves so He can reveal Himself to us. God wants to interpret Himself to us, not for us to interpret God.
Right.
Are you following me? And that's why we have so many misunderstandings about so many doctrines that go flying around, is because it's just a result of what man has studied about theology or the doctrine of God and come up with their own concept of what He's all about. And God never intended for any of us to do that. He's always intended for us to get into a position so that He can approach us and reveal Himself to us, especially through Scripture. That's what we're talking about on Sunday evenings, is we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we've been introducing some new concepts, new understandings that we find in the Word of God about the person of the Holy Spirit. But one thing that people do not understand because of how it's been taught in the past, they don't understand spiritual language. And when you get born again, you have what you call the second act of grace, and that is what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second act of the operation of the Holy Spirit is not the one where we get born again, but it's the one where we're literally baptized into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that births us into the kingdom. And the baptism is where we literally give ourselves wholly over to the Holy Spirit. We have seen a tremendous compromise in that area, and so therefore church history has taught us not to the second act of grace, which is vitally important, but the church has compromised and said if God wants you to have that second act, He'll give it to you. Anything that you want from God, God's not going to drop it on you. You got to go after it. It's up to you what you want from God. It is not up to God. It's up to you. God has given you a free will to choose to go as deep as you desire to go with Him. You know, I always ask myself, you know, this question, am I as deep as I want to go with God? Am I really as deep as I want to go with God? Ask yourself that on a weekly basis, and it challenges you. I am now seeing that within a few weeks, I've got to enter into this second phase that I want to go through after leaving this one phase that I've been dealing with. This second phase, I want to go deeper with God, and that area or that desire for my heart and life is the power of God. I want to see more of the power of God in my life. Don't you? And so I've been instructed the Lord to go into that area. And, of course, He hasn't given me full disclosure yet as to how that's going to happen. But I already see some things working in my heart that's going to make that possible. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's a little clue there that God had given me. And I've noticed that some men can operate in the power of God more than other men, and yet we all have the same attributes, the same ability. Why is it that one operates more than the other? Because of the way a man thinks. Some men have the capacity not to doubt as much where others do doubt. And so, it's how a man thinks that is so critical to his life. And we brought out, I think it was last Sunday morning, we brought out that the best way to discover what you're made up of is the present fruit that you're bearing in your life. That's where God took me to an understanding of righteousness I had not seen before. And we're talking about that on Wednesday night for those of you that have been present during that teaching. Many of you have responded and said, never heard anything like it. Well, it's because of my own personal walk with God, my own time of fellowship that I have with Him, that He began to give me a clear understanding even about righteousness. And so any step that you make in your life, it's going to challenge you on how or the way that you think by the fruit that you bear. See, the fruit is the only way we can really tell just how spiritual we really are. And boy, some of us don't like it. I didn't like it, you know. But that's what it all boils down to. And we were bringing out in how to change this self-image. We had 8 points, and we've given you all a handout on them. And the three that we're covering right now is 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. Get an understanding how your mind is affected by being directly linked to the Word of God. Listen, the carnal mind is in rebellion to God. The carnal mind is in rebellion to the God. What I'm talking about in this rebellion, I'm talking about because your carnal mind is only made up of your senses, your 5 physical senses. That's all it's made up of. That's what was programmed into you through the raising of this world. Point number 3, do not allow handicapped thinking to become permanent barriers. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul clearly states that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he brings this fact out. He says that these reasonings speak directly against the knowledge of God. I've even noticed that some ministers actually preach, literally teach and preach reasoning that speaks against the knowledge of God, and they think they're doing God a favor by protecting the body of Christ with knowledge that's speaking directly against the Word of God. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the mindset that we have, or our thinking. Because if our thinking is changed, it'll help in our self-image being less and less a part of our life and more of what he says about our life. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's take a look at, first of all, where the carnal mind came into existence. We always seem to think that the carnal mind came into existence when Adam was first formed. And literally God literally impregnated his being with his life. In other words, his spiritual life as well as his soul. And we find this in Genesis chapter 2, where it said, "And the Lord God," verse 7, "formed man of the dust of the ground," the physical part of him. And it says, "And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives." Actually, in the Hebrew, it's plural. It's lives. "And man became a living soul," or literally, man became a speaking spirit. And people don't understand that particular concept of it, but when God literally... Now, the way it's worded, it sounds like God picked Adam up and breathed into his nose, cupped his mouth around it, and breathed in. But God doesn't live on air. God doesn't have any dependency whatsoever on this atmosphere. So literally, I like to put it this way, according to, without going into the Hebrew, literally God reached within himself and he took from within his personal being and placed it in the very person of Adam. And Adam literally became a living soul or living substance. In the Hebrew, it's actually saying he became a speaking spirit. Now, up until this time, there's something very interesting that we need to understand. When we get to chapter 3, verse 1, there's something that is made mention that's very interesting, made mention about the devil. And let's read chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, I want you to go over to backwards a little bit here. Let's go back to verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, the word commanded literally means to delegate or to appoint. Literally, this is referring to something that is said that before never existed. It was something that never existed before, but now once it's set into motion. And this word actually is, this word for commandment here literally means something that God had formulated or instituted into existence that was never there before. Now, we look at this, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We look at it always as eating just a fruit or something in direct violation. But there was also a spiritual meaning behind this as well. First of all, he gave him a literal commandment to abstain from this tree. But there was a spiritual commandment behind it. And that spiritual commandment that was behind it is just as they would violate by touching the natural tree and eat of the fruit, they would also be touching the fruit of the devil himself and be eating what he has to offer them. See, and a lot of us don't see it that way. But it's very interesting, this word subtle. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. This is very interesting, this word subtle. Because this word literally means a movement that is so slow that it's undetectable. In other words, he will move in such a manner that you don't even recognize that he's behind that particular movement. This word means cunning, craftiness. It literally means a way of communicating to enhance, and this is what blew me away, to enhance a relationship. To enhance a relationship. That blew me away because I got news for you. I didn't think that anything out of the devil could create any kind of relationship, and I found out that's his master operation. But the problem is the relationships that he creates is not good. Are you following me? It's the wrong kind of relationship. It means that this kind of wisdom will connect others to the wrong source in relationship. Have you ever noticed that in conflict, these statements that come up all the time, birds of a feather flock together? Well, there's an element of truth to that. You know, it just seems like many of us order our lifestyle, our relationships. A lot of times it has to do with what we think about ourselves. If we have low self-esteem, we fellowship with the down and outers. And if we're high-minded and our pride goes in the other direction, then many of us won't think of fellowshipping with the lowly. You know what I mean? We don't want to be caught there. So I heard one statement that somebody had made, and it caught my attention. I can't remember where it came from. They said they wouldn't step inside of a Walmart. And I got to thinking, well, where did that wisdom come from? I mean, it brought a conviction to me because I step inside of Walmarts. Well, it's this high-mindedness that we get about ourselves. You know, we got to be careful that we don't allow that kind of information gets in us. But it does because of the subtlety of our adversary. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, turn over there. And we're going to come right back to Genesis here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's go to verse 3. Paul says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The word simplicity here, literally, is not a word that talks about something simple. The word simplicity here literally is referring to an understanding. To an understanding. So literally should be corrupted from the understanding that is in Christ. The understanding that is in Christ. And here's this word subtlety again. The serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Are you following me? This is a very interesting wisdom, because we know, first of all, that God created Lucifer. That was his original name. His name changed after the fall. He was likened unto the serpent. Now, some people believe that this was some upright snake that actually appeared to him and everything. Actually, the Hebrew word there means upright, bright, and shining, or glistening one. It's referring to the devil himself. Now, what we don't understand is this word subtle or subtility, being subtle. When he approached her, this word literally has to do also, and I didn't realize this, but this word literally, now this is what this wisdom comes from. It's called exact timing. So we don't know how long Eve was in the beguiled situation. But we do know that when Lucifer did open his mouth up, she was prime target for his deception. Again, we talked about the truth of self-image. In order for God to begin to cut away on us, we have to have an understanding of truth about us. If we never come to the truth about us, we're always in a position of being deceived. And subtly in our life. Matter of fact, I've seen some people react to the Word of God and the Kingdom of God in such a way that where they reacted before, I was shocked at where they ended up. And the Lord told me, He says, they can't see it because they were the ones that opened the door to be deceived in it. You see, Satan cannot touch the body of Christ except you give him something to touch it with. See, if he wants to get a handle on your life, the handle's got to be on you. You see, and a lot of people don't realize that. I kept saying, Lord, I've done all that I... No, and he says, no, you haven't, because your handles are there. And so when I opened my heart up on this teaching on righteousness, I saw my handles. Now, if I'd have seen them before, do you think I'd be in the position I was in? Hey, if you guys aren't deceived, would you be in a good position?
Oh, yeah.
If you were deceived, what would you say? Well, be careful of that, because I'm going to tell you something. I've learned something. When I think I don't have handles, that's when I find the biggest ones on me. You see, I had no idea I had these handles in existence until I got to that place of humility with God, where God could speak to me and show me how he got into my... Because it's your fruit.
Right.
It's your fruit that tells you what you're made of.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get away from our fruit. I don't care what anybody says. I sat and argued with a brother. He said he wasn't backslidden. I said, yes, you are. And he said, well, how are you so sure about it? I said, your fruit. You can't deny your fruit, people. People can't deny your fruit. You can. Why? You did deceive one. You see. Now, again, point number four, our self-image must die in order for his image to be formed in it. Point number five, realize that when you put your mind into the Word of God, you're putting your failures in proper perspective. If you see a handle on you, don't be upset about it. Rejoice over it. If you find something that is a weakness in your life, bearing the wrong kind of fruit, rejoice over the fact you can see it. Why? That's his end for you. It's over. He's finished in that area as far as you're concerned. That's why Jesus said, Satan has a hard time with me because he can't find anything in me to use.
Yep.
Now, go back to Genesis. And let's see something here. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. This word for made here is the Hebrew word asah. It literally means he made Lucifer out of substance. Isn't that interesting? Because I always thought angels are just ethereal light. But angels have substance, and God made him out of something that already existed. Where the other times where the word made is mentioned, such as God made or created or made the heavens and the earth, that is the Greek word bara, which means made something out of nothing. He made something out of nothing. Did you know? Are you ready? Did you know over in Romans chapter 4? This is very interesting. I was thinking about my prophecy here this morning. It's very interesting. Did you know that Abraham did what God commanded of him, is to believe on him by faith? And it says, and he spoke of things that be not as though they were. Did you know that when you take the word of God and you speak it over your circumstances, you're coming off the Hebrew word, the root Hebrew word, bara, which means you're literally speaking a new existence into your life that has not been there before. Whew, that ought to excite you. You see, God intends for His church to create new beginnings every day in their life. When people stand up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, boy, what a mouthful. Because this is the day you get to exercise your faith, your authority, and create something into your life that possibly could have never been there before. Now, notice what happened. Go down to verse 5. Well, let's read right down to 5. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This Hebrew word here for open literally means, in the Hebrew, this is what it means. It means to open the senses. To open the senses. That is why, people, that when the Word of God speaks and you let a reason speak against that Word, you're literally allowing your sensual insight, your natural eye, right, to have its authority over your spiritual eye. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, watch this. He says, for God know that in that day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what did she do in verse 6? And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Notice this. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Notice this. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Notice verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. What? What? You mean to tell me that they literally had one set of eyes that was totally shut? Exactly. You know what was literally shut? The ability to see through the carnal mind. Before the fall, they didn't know what it literally meant to obtain to the wisdom that is necessary to see through the carnal mind. Wow! So literally, what happened? The authority that was invested in their spiritual mind from that point, their spiritual mind did a violation against what God has said. Because Lucifer used what God said to deceive them. And that is reasonings that speak against the knowledge of God. And to the day, in the church today, we are permeated with reasoning that sounds so good, but it is not God's mind. But it sure sounds like it's God's mind. Now, this word eyes here, it has to be talking about the physical soul. Because they could see. Because she said, I could see that it would make one wise. Mm-hmm. Are you following me? But she didn't act. She didn't take action.
Right.
Are you following me? She only saw. And she only thought. But when she took action. Mm-hmm. Action. That's why, though a man say he has faith without works, his faith is dead being alone. Well, when God told them not to eat of that fruit of that tree, he was talking about literally the authority that would stand behind the fruit of that tree, which is who?
Satan.
Yep. They didn't have a history of sin. They didn't have a church history. The only history they had is what God said. And so that's how Satan gets into our life. He always questions what God says. And if he can't get you to disagree with your carnal mind, he'll get you to compromise. Or he'll bring about a way to negate his ability to operate in your life. Now, are you ready for this? I couldn't believe it when I looked the meaning of this word up. But this word for subtle, you know what Zahiti said about this word? Are you ready? The only way that this word for subtleness, cunning and craftiness or prudence, this kind of wisdom, and when he said that, I sat there and I had to look at that thing again. I couldn't believe it. He said, this kind of wisdom only has its strength in complacency.
Amen.
When a Christian grows cold in the Lord, Satan has you by your shorts.
Yep.
The seat of your pants. When you don't stay on the cutting edge of what God says, listen, Satan's wisdom will always wait for exact timing in your life.
Yep.
And he wants it when you're as dead as a hammer. And then he'll sneak in there and he'll just nail you with a thought.
Yep. Yep.
And you know the sad part about it is, we not only have the devil operating in deception, we ourselves, to a certain percentage, are self-deceived. We can't even see the fruit that's born on our own tree because we're so righteous. I told Laura, I said, why didn't I see it so clear? Why didn't I see it so clear? Because of the subtlety of our adversary. You know, it amazes me how Christians seem to think that they can kick back on so great a salvation and literally let the Word of God drift by them Because the word neglect literally means to, it's referring to one who has gone up to shore, gotten out of a boat, carelessly tied it to the shore, and it drifted off. So when you come back to the shoreline to get into the boat, you don't find it there. Why? Because when it's there at the time you need it, it's not there. You know what makes the Word of God work for some and not the others with the same circumstances? One's on fire for God and it will work because he's commanding the authority, and the other one's hoping it'll work because he's just doing it. You know what makes the Word of God work in your life? When you're on fire for it. When you're as dead as a hammer and you're in complacency, you'll always have an easier time with doubt in your mind rather than with victory in your mind. Are you guys getting something here? Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11 again. This is very interesting. My daughter Lindsay, she's always dealing with other doctrine. And she was making a statement to me yesterday, because she gets in the car and boy, that little girl gets her little jaws going. But I always listen to her because she's real interesting, her concept. Well, she has a hard time with once saved, always saved. And then they have this other doctrine of being predestined to be saved. And so she asked her friend one time who believes in you're predestined to be saved or you're not saved. And so she asked, she says, well, then why have such a fervency for going out and winning the lost? And her friend said, what are you saying? Well, you know, if everyone's predestined to be saved and who is and who isn't, then why do you have such a desire to go out and save everybody? Wouldn't it be more applicable to you if you try to find out who is saved and who isn't, and then go witness to the ones that are going to be saved and not the ones that aren't? Well, you know, I thought it was very interesting. She made the statement that even her own friends don't really believe in their own church doctrine because it's not logical. You know, people, once saved, always saved. That is a good doctrine. So that you can handle your life any way you want to. But here's the thing. You got to come up with some doctrine of grace to allow sin to rule and reign in your life. Because once saved, always saved. Don't matter what I overcome. Why? He came to die for sin anyway. Why? Because I couldn't overcome it. A dear brother was coming to our church. Went to a meeting of a bunch of believers. Was right in their midst. Him and his girlfriend. And the leader of the prayer meeting and Bible study and everything approached him about doing some wife swapping. And he looked at the guy and said, am I missing something here, but aren't you the leader of this Bible study? He said, well, yes, I am. He said, well, don't you know that wife swapping is not a God? He says, well, certainly. Well, how do you think God looks at it? He says, well, God looks at gracefully because, after all, he knew I couldn't overcome sin. And Jesus came to cover me in my sin, so it's all right. Well, once saved, always saved. What's the deal? You know what that's called? Sensual insanity. I mean, God is or ain't. And the first sign that you're in God is that death begins to work in you that is conducive for the world's salvation. That's why Paul the Apostle said death is at work within us, but life in you. Why? Because what we put to death that's worldly in us is something that the unbeliever will receive life for. You always hear a lot of unbelievers say, and it's an excuse, well, I'm not going to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, only hypocrites. Why, are you afraid of the hypocrites? Are you afraid to come to church? Because the one next to you might be a hypocrite. That's like saying, I don't want to go to church because all the bad apples in it. What? You become one too, huh? I forgot who told me one time, well, you just can't go to God and ask Him for just anything. That doesn't even compute with me. And I said, well, no, it wouldn't compute to a person that doesn't know what to ask for. They were already insinuating they might ask for the wrong thing. I just told them, I always ask for the right thing. It's all how we think. Now I'm going to close on 2 Corinthians 11 here. First of all, he says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This word for transformed here is not the same word that is used over in Romans 12. This word transformed here is the Greek word metamorpho. It literally means to change form, but the form here is to change appearance and not the inner. This is a word you would use to clothe someone with a theatrical garb. It means they had changed their appearance, but it's still the same person underneath. Are you following me? And that's what the devil does. And he always appears as an angel of light. I'm going to tell you something. You know, Dave Roberson made a statement that just so stunned me. He went to Hawaii, and there's a large church in Hawaii that heard that Dave Roberson was going to be at the meetings with Norval Hayes in this hotel room. And so what this large word church did is they began to boycott the meetings because Dave Roberson was there. But one of the ladies that attended that church that was behind the boycotting, her mother, unknowing to her, went to Dave's meeting, but her mother is stone blind. Couldn't see. Matter of fact, she had no eyes left. They were all white, if I remember right. They cauterized over, whatever. She went into the meeting. She got up in the front row, and as Dave was preaching, she started screaming. Dave stopped and said, are you all right? And she started bawling and jumping up and down, and she could see. Totally and clearly, her eyes came back. So she went and she called her daughter. And she said, I can't hardly wait to get to church with you, honey. I can't hardly wait to tell the whole church. The church is boycotting the meetings. So she goes to the church, and she stands up, and Dave Roberson prayed for my eyes, and they're all clear. She said, matter of fact, he didn't pray for my eyes. He was just preaching away, and his message caught my heart, and my eyes were cleared up. Well, everybody, you could have heard a pin drop in that church. So that information got back to Dave, and Dave was in his hotel room, and it just shocked me. Dave went, well, I was vindicated on that one. God vindicated me on that one. The boycotting even quit. Thank you, Lord. You know what the Lord said? I didn't vindicate you. And Dave said, that wasn't your voice? He said, no. He says, I don't do anything to vindicate anybody. He says, your own doctrine vindicates you. He said, I wasn't impressed to even show that church anything. He said, I was consumed with her ability to see again. And so you see how Satan can come in just as an angel. He can speak something and it'll glorify men, but God's intention is never to glorify a man. His intention is to glorify the goodness of himself, his love towards the afflicted. Boy, Dave repented. He said, "Lord, I'm sorry I ever thought that way, that you did that to vindicate me." And the Lord told him that, just another form of self-pride. You know, a lot of people want to see somebody healed because they want to vindicate God's ability to heal. When you have that kind of attitude, there again, that's the spirit of righteousness. Remember we've been talking about Wednesday night? What is righteousness? Righteousness is the nature of God in manifestation. Now, hold your place there and go to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We're going to quit here. In chapter 4, let's go to verse 2. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." This word for deceitfully comes off the same root word of the wisdom of subtlety that's found in the devil. Are you ready? This word deceitfully means to adulterate the word of God, mixing it with something that doesn't belong. Mixing it with something that doesn't belong. And I've learned something about my carnal mind. It always wants to mix sensual insight with spiritual revelation. And you've got to learn how to get to a place you can make a distinction between the two. Did you guys get something here this morning? We'll continue on next Sunday. For those that are listening by television, we want to encourage you to feel free to call in. If you'd like us to pray for you, you have any special needs, we'd love to do that. And God richly bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, this keeps going through my spirit, and I'm going to say it. I don't know whether it's several people, maybe just one, I don't know. But somebody here, you're in a very critical place financially with your present job. And you have been stepping out on the Word of God, but the Lord told me to tell you that you're stepping out with the Word of God in doubt. In doubt. Simply because your circumstances have brought you to a place where you're forced to activate your faith, when I have warned you time and again to get into your prayer closet and begin to pray and to draw close to me so that I could draw close to you. For the Lord would tell you that the reason that He operates according to your faith is there is no doubt within your own mind. For as I've told Peter to step out on the water, yet he began to sink. Because I said, "Wherefore did you doubt?" You know, he that is going to receive of me must ask in faith, never wavering. For if you waver, it is like doubt in your life. You differ with one towards the other. And I say clearly in my word, let not that man think he'll ever get anything. So you have come to me and you are in a very critical place financially. And thus saith the Lord today, you need to stop doubting if you want my help. Reach out in faith and let it go. And watch me work, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Jeketa Samata. Stand up, everybody. Man, some things are floating through my spirit. Lord, how do I explain that? Boy, I just felt that's an application for many things for many people here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we stand now to adjourn, Father, I ask that before we close this service, if there be anybody here that needs to be prayed for to enter into the kingdom of God. They think they're saved and they're not. They've never really made a commitment to make you the Lord of their life. And Father, if that's the case, we want to lay hands on them and see them brought into the kingdom of heaven. And if there be anybody here that has been brought into the kingdom of heaven but been living in outright rebellion, we want to pray for them that they would get back into fellowship with you in its full strength. And Father, if there's anybody here that has reasoned away that second act of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we want to lay hands on them and watch them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name. And Father, there are those who are here that keep messing with sickness and you want to eradicate it from their life. They can come forward, get hands laid on them, and that sickness has to go if their faith is in that right place. And so once I dismiss, if you fit any one of those areas, I want you to feel free to come up here and get prayed for.